Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Levine with a runway, lays it in, plus the foul. Zach Levine does it again.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls _ Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley. And you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can find us on Instagram at Locked On Bulls as well. Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. And of course, that text and voicemail line always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, 24/7, 365. That number is 331-979-1369. That number again, 331-979-1369. Hit us up there with all of your Bulls thoughts, questions, comments, and we will get to as many of them as we can every week in our weekly mailbag episodes. Well, as I said, I am Matt Peck. Welcome to today's show. Jordan is off today, so I thought I would hop on and just give a quick recap on my thoughts of the Bulls' first preseason game against the Milwaukee Bucks on Monday night. Before we do that, quick shout out to our friends at Indochino, who helped sponsor today's show. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. So, hope everybody enjoyed watching Bulls basketball for the first time in what felt like forever last night. The Bulls fall to Robin Lopez, our old friend, and the Milwaukee Bucks, 122-112 was the final. Robin and his brother Brooke combined to lead the Bucks with 27 points. Robin Lopez, very efficient night last night, 6 of 10 from the field, even hit one of his threes with the patented teacup celebration. And before I get into some more specific thoughts about specific players, some of whom it was their NBA debut, their preseason debut, like rookies Coby White and Daniel Gafford. I'll also have some thoughts on Markkanen and Levine. I wanted to give my thoughts on overall what we saw from the Bulls as a whole last night, because we've been hearing a lot of talk through the offseason and then coming into media day from Jim Boylan and the people running this team about a change in strategy, about getting out and moving and pushing the pace a little bit more than we saw last season, shooting more threes than we saw this team take last season. The Bulls were one of the bottom barrel teams in the league when it came to three-point attempts last season, and that is certainly something that they were trying to change. Well, of course, it's one preseason game, it's one small sample size, but the Bulls were definitely out there launching threes last night. They took 38 overall. They didn't have a great night converting, just 12 of 38 for 31.6% from downtown, but it's about the attempts being there. 38. That's still not nearly as many as the Bucks launched last night. They shot 17 of 46 from downtown, good for 37%, so the Bucks still getting the better of the Bulls in that department. But the Bucks were one of the better three-point shooting teams last season. No surprise that even with them sitting some of their primary starters and stars, that that would still be their plan of attack coming back into a new season. But with the Bulls, it is a big shift. We saw the Bulls do a lot of stuff in mid-range last season, and that is not where you want to be in today's NBA. And we heard the talk, and it was a matter of whether or not we were going to see the Bulls back up that talk when we actually saw them on the floor. so far, one preseason game. Yes, small sample size, but it looks like they are going to stick to that. And thanks to Chris Fleming for maybe convincing Jim Boylan that shooting lots of threes is not a bad thing. Zach LaVine even also had some comments about it post-game, saying, hey, we have the personnel to do it on this roster now. And that was, at times, a limitation for the Bulls. You know, Jim Boylan even saying at times last season, well, hey, if we had a bunch of three-point shooters on this roster, then we'd shoot more threes. Zach LaVine feels confident. Jim Boylan, you know, made a crack about not shooting as many threes as the Rockets this season, but definitely shooting more. And that's where the Bulls want to go. That is the direction they're trying to steer themselves, finally being a modern NBA offense. Focus on three-point shots and also, of course, attacking the basket and getting to the free throw line. And the Bulls did that last night, too. The Bulls got to the free throw line quite a bit. In fact, more times, significantly more times, than the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks were very efficient, 21 of 25 from behind at the free throw line last night. But the Bulls, not as efficient, but they took 38 free throws. 13 more than the defending one seed in the Eastern Conference. The Bulls were only 26 of 38 for 68.4% at the line. Part of that, I think, was due to Zach LaVine only going 3 of 6 for the free throw line. That's an abnormality for Zach, although we did hear from Boylan before the game last night that he had been dealing with a small bruise on a part of his hand. You even saw Zach wearing some kind of wrap last night, and that probably affected his free throw stroke and hopefully will not be something that is a consistent problem throughout the season. But even still, the main point is getting to the free throw line, because the Bulls were, if not shooting threes, attacking the basket. And just to give you a quick sort of overview of some of the ways in which the Bulls' first preseason action looked a lot different from what we saw last season, this is Stefan Noah of The Athletic, who tweeted this earlier today. And again, small sample size, one preseason game, but still, some of the big areas where the Bulls are trying to shift offensively this season. Percentages. So here are the percentage of points scored via different areas of the floor. In the 2018-19 regular season, the Bulls scored 26% of their total points on threes. Last night, that number jumped to 32.1%. Percentage points scored via the fast break. The Bulls last season, on average, 11.5%. That jumped last night to 14.3% on fast break points. At the free throw line, here's a big jump. The Bulls last season, 15.4% of their points came at the free throw line. Last night, and even with only shooting 68% from the charity stripe, that number jumped to 23.2% of their total overall points. And then here, to me, is the biggest one. This is the key. Last season, the Bulls scored 10.2% of their total points in mid-range. Mid-range. Last night, 1.8%. That is huge. That is going to be just as much of a difference maker for the Bulls. Yes, we want to see them shoot more threes. You want to see players like LaVine and Lowry and even the rookie Kobe White attacking the basket, drawing fouls, getting to the free throw line. And it should be a fairly simple system of, all right, well, if your three-point attempts go up, and your free throw attempts go up, something's going down. And what should be going down is their attempts mid-range. I believe I saw, I think it was our guy Mark Strotman, who does great statistical work for NBC Sports Chicago's Bulls team, said that combined LaVine and Otto in, you know, like 30-some minutes last night combined, only the two of them together took one mid-range shot. And it was actually a technicality because Otto had his toe over the line on what was probably supposed to be a three-point attempt. So the Bulls completely eliminated the mid-range game last night. That is good news. Small sample size, yes. But still, if that is the trend and that is the new trend that we are about to watch this Bulls team go in this season, increase your shots from behind the three-point line. What I would like to see them do is get more of those corner looks. The Bucks crush the Bulls with their corner threes. I think they were like 8 of 15 from the corners, whereas the Bulls only hit like a couple of their threes from the corners. They need to continue to try and get those looks at those easiest spots in the corners on those threes. But even still, you still like where it's heading. And then, of course, also, as I said, getting to the free throw line. The Bulls getting to the free throw line 38 times last night. That is big, good news. All right, now let's get to some thoughts on some specific individual performances from last night. I mentioned Zach and his tough night at the free throw line with that bruised hand that he's working with right now. But even still, he looked pretty darn smooth last night. Zach LaVine played 22 minutes, finished 5 of 13 from the field, including 3 of 6 from downtown for 16 points, adding 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. He did have 3 turnovers as well. And then Lauri Markkanen, his sidekick, 23 minutes for Lowry, 5 of 12 from the field, 4 of 8 of that from downtown, 5 rebounds, a couple of assists, no turnovers for Lowry, finishes with 14 points. So this is the big duo that everybody's going to be looking towards this season if the Bulls are going to make a big jump, right? One or both of these guys putting big jumps in their game. Lowry already kind of did it last season, and Markkanen showed at certain spurts last season just how big of a star potential kind of guy he is, but didn't really do it over a full season. That's the big question coming into this year. We did see more of that really fun Zach and Lowry two-man game last night that we saw at times last season, especially with the pick and pop that works very successfully. LaVine and Lowry being the screen setter, Lowry pops open to the top of the key, and we saw him with that pure shooting stroke just drilling some threes last night in that two-man game. It was nice to see, but what we didn't see last night was Markkanen really doing any kind of work attacking the basket or starting from the block down low and doing any kind of post work offensively. We all love how nice of a shot Markkanen has. We all love having a 7-footer who could shoot threes, but we didn't really see much of any variety in Markkanen's offensive game last night. As I said, 4 of his 5 makes came from behind the 3-point line. So it's not like I wanted or expected to see an entirely new offensive arsenal from Lowry last night, but we didn't. And so I'm still waiting to see what Lowry can do in addition to just being a pure shooter this season. The ways in which that they can continue to build upon that two-man game, not just pick and pops, but actually pick and rolls and having Markkanen attack the basket. Certainly seems to have bulked up and added some muscle to his frame in the offseason. We just need to see Markkanen be more aggressive. I feel like it's something that we talk about all the time. We talked about it last season. When is he going to really put his foot down and say, yo, give me the damn ball? And some of that, we wonder, is about, you know, it's not about a lack of confidence. Maybe it's a personality thing. I'm not sure. But we continue to see more of the same when it comes to Lowry and Zach that we saw last season. The two-man game, one aspect of it works really well, but we need to see more nuanced and verified or varied versions of it. Because if they can develop a wide ranging, if they can develop wide ranging points of attack playing that two man game, I think they could be very lethal in this league. And we all know what Zach can do. He showed it last night. He can get to the free throw line. He can be explosive attacking the basket. For me, we already know what Zach LaVine can be. Markkanen is the bigger question coming into his third season. We did also see Markkanen playing some minutes at the five last night, as we all expected. He moved to the five when Thad Young comes in off the bench. Thad plays the four. We all are hoping that this idea of turning Markkanen into a guy who can play real minutes at the five works out well for the Bulls. A lot of the questions are going to be on the defensive end, and can he actually be a solid rim protector? That's a big question that remains to be seen, and hopefully Roy Rogers will help him develop those skills on the defensive end playing that position. But Boylan talked about it last night. talking about the versatility of his guys in the front court. You know, being able to play Otto at the three or at the four, being able to play Thad at the four or the five, being able to play Lowry at the four or the five. And this is all, you know, of course, happening with, you know, Wendell sitting out this preseason game, and who knows, Wendell might sit out the entirety of the preseason based on Boylan's comments about Wendell and that nagging tailbone bruise that he suffered at practice and training camp. But the versatility of that front court. And, of course, you're going to love seeing Markkanen be able to step out and you know, try and draw some attention from opponents' bigs out to the perimeter because of his lethal game from the outside. And that is going to be wonderful when the Bulls decide to go small and they can play either Otto or Thad at the four alongside Lowry. The one interesting rotation piece that I think didn't work out all that well last night that I don't necessarily think is a giant concern, assuming health on this roster, was for a significant stretch they had Thad Young out there with Daniel Gafford. And I'll get to Gafford and the other rookie, Kobe White, in a minute, but you saw Thad Young playing more out around the perimeter as like a stretch four when Gafford was in there, because Gafford has, you know, no stretchability to his game whatsoever. He is a old-fashioned traditional big. He can roll to the rim, and he can protect the paint on the defensive end. He can protect the rim, but he is not a guy who can stretch the floor at all. He operates in the paint exclusively. So because of that, you had Thad Young kind of, you know, roaming the perimeter, and Thad Young's really, really never been in his, you know, dozen-year NBA career a threat from behind the three-point line, hovering around 30% for the most part in his career. So you saw Thad launch a couple of threes, you know, primarily from the corners, and it, you know, it wasn't great for him. He was 0-3 from behind the three-point line. I don't think you're going to be seeing Thad shoot a lot of threes this season, assuming that he's going to be primarily playing from the block. So with that, let us transition into those rookies that Bulls fans were so excited to get their first look at since Summer League last night. Kobe White getting some solid action off the bench, 25 minutes, 3 of 10 from the field, including 1 of 3 from behind the three-point line. But here's my favorite part, 5 of 8 from the free throw line, attacking that basket. He added 2 rebounds, an assist, and a steal, turned the ball over twice, finished the night with 12 points. So, first impressions, Kobe White, just as fast as we all remember, right? That kid is a lightning strike of speed. You blink and you miss him. Our pal Ricky O'Donnell, who does great work covering Bulls, NBA, and the draft, and college hoops for SB Nation, pointed it out and posted the video. On one particular post-Bucks bucket, Kobe White took the inbound pass and went coast-to-coast, got to the rim, and drew a foul before the shot clock hit 20. In under 4 seconds, Kobe White took the inbound pass and had drawn a foul at the opposite rim. That is game-changing speed. That is young, pre-injuries, Derrick Rose kind of coast-to-coast speed. And it is the biggest, best attribute that we all agreed made Kobe White a really exciting prospect. And yes, a work in progress and a very raw prospect. But that is what we all saw when we looked at the Kobe White tape as we were figuring out who the Bulls were going to draft last summer. The speed is there. Wow. And now it's a matter of how many minutes will he earn the rotation and just how off will Jim Boylan take the training wheels when it comes to Kobe White. Because he clearly has his set of skills, the speed and athleticism to get to the basket. And I love the fact that he got to the free throw line 8 times in his first NBA preseason game. It's awesome. However, we also saw the other side of Kobe White, which was a kid coming in to the NBA, having been a very good one-and-done player at the college level at a giant program like UNC. This kid set the UNC scoring record. This, like, the same college that saw Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Kobe White shattered records. and he was pouring in like 30 points a night for UNC, and he was the show. And he has the confidence of a player who had that on their college resume, as brief as it was. And he certainly, while not expecting anything to be handed to him, is coming in and attacking training camp and attacking preseason like someone who wants to prove that he belongs in the NBA. So that's why you saw him take 10 shots last night. You saw him take 10 shots, and you also saw him dish out only one assist. And that is why, and it's something that I agreed with when Casey Johnson mentioned it when he was talking about Coby White in an in-game hit as part of NBC Chicago's new coverage team, talking about Coby White being right now having the looks of a guy who's more of a two-guard than a point guard. Even though Bulls fans saw the drafting of Coby White as, all right, if Chris Dunn's not the answer, you know, we missed out on Ja Morant and we missed out on Darius Garland, but hopefully Coby White is the answer. But last night, he definitely looked like a guy who enjoys shooting more than he enjoys passing. And I'm not necessarily saying that that's a bad thing based on what we know about Coby White, the player. And I'm not going to crucify him for one night, one preseason game in which he looked to shoot the ball an awful lot and didn't really look to facilitate and rack up the assists. He was certainly a score-first kind of player at UNC. And I think that that's kind of right now the player that we should expect him to be. And that's another reason why I think that he could be a very exciting piece to bring in off the bench. But that if you're talking about really helping Markkanen and Levine be the real studs of this team, that Satoransky is probably the best guy to put in that starting unit. And who knows, you can maybe find times to stagger Kobe's minutes, assuming he does get real minutes, with some of that starting five and see how it goes. But I think the best way that Coby can actually get minutes this season is if he is versatile enough to say, I don't have to be the primary ball handler, and I can play off the ball a little bit too. And don't ask too much of him. Don't ask him to be a veteran caliber point guard when it comes to distributing and running offenses. His skill is his speed and athleticism. Let him use that. Do not put too much on his shoulders. It was really fun to watch you play last night, but you saw the good, you saw the bad, and I think you realize that it will be a project. It will be a developmental thing with Coby White. Clearly has the ability to come in and play at the NBA level. The natural ability, the natural talent. He's got enough of it to come in and make a difference on an NBA roster. It's just about what kind of specific jobs the Bulls are going to task him with this season. And in how many minutes will he get to do that job? How many minutes will he have to perform the duties that are asked of him? Because you saw Chris Dunn starting last night. Chris Dunn started, played 24 minutes. They did say, when it was announced earlier in the day that Dunn would start, that would not necessarily be the case for the entirety of this preseason. Boylan's going to mix things up. I would expect that he is going to make a change tomorrow night when the Bulls play their next preseason game. But as far as when the real games start, that competition for minutes is still going to be there. And perhaps the front office's desire to play Chris Dunn, to actually see if he could still be a contributing piece to winning basketball this season, if that is indeed the priority, based on their comments media day, it sounds like that is the priority. Get back to the playoffs. Be a winning competitive basketball team. Does Chris Dunn and his above average, if not quite elite level, perimeter defense and wing defense give you more towards winning every night than Coby White and his freakish athleticism and speed? That's something that they're going to have to weigh, along with their desire to maybe raise Chris Dunn's trade value a little bit. And then, of course, let's get to the other rookie and one of the other really fun parts of the Bulls' first preseason action last night, and that is Daniel Gafford, the second round pick. Pretty much forced into action because the Bulls are being careful with Wendell Carter Jr., who, you know, I touched on it a few minutes ago, but the update from Boylan doesn't sound great, if we're being honest. You know, we thought at first it was just a mild ankle sprain the first day of camp, but there was no swelling there. There was nothing really bad about that. He even wanted to go back into practice because the ankle was so mild. But then after that, it was he took a couple of hard falls, and now it's a bruised tailbone. And it is, according to Jim Boylan, a bruised tailbone that is lingering and not coming around as soon as they'd hoped. So that's certainly a worry. But it's why Wendell wasn't on the floor last night. And, of course, you know, the other free agency addition, Luke Kornet, dealing with a turf toe issue. So Wendell and Kornet on the shelf. And even though you started Cristiano Felicio because, I guess, seniority, because, I guess, more familiarity with Boylan, because, I guess, appearances, I don't know. Felicio starts, plays 17 minutes, but the young Daniel Gafford coming off the bench playing 18 minutes. Felicio in 17 minutes. 6 points on 2 of 3 from the field. I believe both of those were dunks. One of them, I think, was like the first Bulls points of the night. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and wow, Felicio even credited with a block last night for a -7. Gafford in 18 minutes, 3 of 6 from the field for 12 points, 6 of 8 from the free throw line. That's where the other points came from. 5 rebounds, including 4 of them on the offensive end. Only 1 of Felicio's 3 rebounds came on the offensive end. Gafford, 4 of 5 total rebounds, offensive glass, and 3 blocks, a +1 in 18 minutes. Gafford did also have 5 fouls on the night. Felicio, 0. Interesting. But look, I think a lot of Bulls fans enjoyed watching Gafford play last night. Everybody went back and watched his tape from his, you know, 2 seasons at Arizona. He's a highlight reel in human form. You know, the breakaway dunks, the massive windmill dunks and all the stuff you saw on his college tape. And you saw some of that similar bounce and those kind of traits when we watched Summer League. So coming into tonight, you were kind of expecting to see that the same kind of stuff. The high-energy guy who's going to have some big-time dunks. He's going to protect the rim. And that's exactly what we saw. Now, if the Bulls' front court injury bugs that are concerning us now, if none of them turn out to be long-term issues, then we may have just, you know, we may just get the fun Gafford experience in preseason, and then we probably won't see that much more this season unless you're also tuning into the Windy City Bulls on a nightly basis. This is an interesting part of the debate that I had with my co-outsiders, Dave and John, and our producer over at NBC, Kevin Anderson, on the latest Bulls Talk podcast episode. Check that out if you haven't already. Big Dave saying, like, he believes that, like, of course, the obvious, Gafford earned any minutes that Felicio might get after last night. And I would completely agree. However, Big Dave also went as far as to say that he thinks that Gafford right now deserves the backup center spot behind Wendell Carter above Luke Kornet. Because right now, Gafford showed us what he showed us last night, and Luke Kornet hasn't showed us anything. That's kind of where I disagree a little bit. Yes, technically, Luke Kornet is inactive in this preseason thus far, dealing with a turf toe. And Daniel Gafford played 18 minutes, and he looked like a pretty exciting young prospect. But Luke Kornet's already an established NBA player. You know, I pointed out the fact that Luke Kornet absolutely destroyed the Bulls in one of those Bulls-Knicks games late last season, lit them up from behind the three-point line, and Dave just kind of brushed that off and said, well, that was last season, and it also was against our garbage Bulls team at that point in the season. But to me, proving yourself and establishing yourself at the NBA level means something. and being a highlight reel kind of player coming in as a second round draft pick, you haven't proved anything. Daniel Gafford proved to us last night that he might have what it takes to be a very good player in the NBA at some point, and maybe sooner than we think. And some of this also will come down to matchup-wise what Jim Boylan is trying to do on a nightly basis, but there are certain things that Luke Kornet can give you offensively that Gafford cannot. Gafford can be the high-energy guy who's going to crash the offensive glass, and Gafford and Kornet both have solid rim-protecting and shot-blocking abilities, but Luke Kornet can stretch the floor. It's another piece of versatility to this Bulls front court offensively. Gafford can roll to the rim and he can clean up the glass, but that's it. So it'll be interesting to see when Luke Kornet is ready to go, and provided we see more impressive things from Gafford in the preseason in Kornet's absence, just what exactly Jim Boylan does with that decision. And hopefully that's a decision that Boylan will have to have as far as who do I give minutes to, Kornet or Gafford, because Wendell is fine and healthy and playing big minutes. That's the hope. All in all, you know, really exciting to have Bulls basketball back. I liked what I saw on the offensive end with, again, still wanting to see a more aggressive Lauri Markkanen, a more versatile Lauri Markkanen. Defensively, this team is still going to struggle this season. I mean... there's no two ways about it. Hopefully, Thad's presence will help. Satoransky's presence will help. They definitely both made their presence known on the defensive end last night. Satoransky was credited with 5 steals. Thad Young had a steal and a block. They are going to help out on the defensive end. Even Kobe White making big impact plays, hustle plays on the defensive end. You love to see that too. But, I mean, the Bucks turned the ball over 25 times and still scored 122 points, as pointed out by Mark Strotman. So there's that. I still think that this Bulls team, unless Wendell has an amazing breakout year and Otto is just as, you know, worth every single penny at that vital wing spot, especially on the defensive end, and you know everybody else kicks their defense up a notch, Zach LaVine included, this team's still going to struggle defensively. But hey, maybe they'll be in more games because they can match their opponents in points and pace. Let's hope. And that's it for today. Looking forward to their next preseason game, which I believe is against Zion and the Pelicans. Holy crap, did you see Zion dunk those basketballs last night? That was really fun. Can't wait to see NBA Zion. It looks like he's going to be as good as advertised. Wow. So, for my partner, Jordan Malley, who hopefully we will have back tomorrow to do some mailbag content, take some of your texts and voicemails for the past few days, Matt Peck saying thanks, as always, for listening, Bulls Nation. Remember that voicemail and text line again, 331-979-1369. Hit us up there with your thoughts from the Bulls' first preseason action. We'll talk to you on the flip side. Thanks for listening. Peace out.
I thought it was a real positive.
Oh, my goodness. I want to kill somebody.
Are you going to play devil's advocate?
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com